Marcus, I'm the web guy, but I'm guessing you will have heard of Bill Gates.
Absolutely.
Famous computer guy.
The richest nerd and the most successful nerd we've ever known.
Yeah.
He self-proclaimed, I think. Just big computer nerd.
Yeah. It was like him and Steve Jobs were like dueling it out in the early days of computer technology. You know, who's gonna emerge victor, ruler of the world? In some ways, Jobs produced a product that people loved more, but Gates, and I don't know all the tech insider stuff. People would be passionate about this question one way or the other, but Gates has, you know, he reached the masses. You know, everyone's seen Windows or used a PC, Microsoft.
Yes.
So he's always either the richest guy in the world or almost the richest guy in the world, you know.
And it makes him super powerful because when he speaks or when he has a view on technology or the future, he's someone you listen to.
Yeah, and he does a lot of, you know, he's a philanthropist now.
Yes.
He's very generous. Yeah, he's like a good guy, you'd guess, going on what we've seen. You know, he even is investigating poop water. He turns poop into drinkable water. You'll find videos on the internet of him that have developed this machine that does that, because that would be a big thing to be able to, you know, you got a water source. There's videos of him drinking it. They've set up a big machine.
Yep.
And he drinks it. It's I don't think it's taken off yet, but
nah, I can see that happening. Maybe have to change that tagline, poop water.
Yeah, recycled cool. Or something.
Yeah.
But he is a powerful man, which makes it interesting. There's a story at the moment, interesting question posed to Bill Gates about what is your biggest regret? What could you change? Go back and change if you could change something. And he's got one. He's got one that he'd change.
Is it to do with his extreme wealth or some amazing invention that just didn't happen, or tell us about it.
It's not personal. He didn't say, "Oh, I wish, you know, I wish I hadn't bullied that kid in primary school." Would have been the other way around.
Exactly.
You know, this is professional regret.
Okay.
The infamous Control Alt Delete maneuver.
Now, I use this when I'm having trouble with frozen computer. Can you articulate what it actually does, though, in, I guess, the best way you can understand anyway?
Okay. Off the top of my head, without reading it off a printout I prepared earlier, the shortcut allows you to interrupt your computer's operations when it goes haywire, allowing you to restart if necessary. So it's like something freezes up or it's not working. It's like a backdoor into the, you know, computer brain, and you can just say, shut it down. Shut this bit down, or, you know, it's like an override thing.
In an office, when you're desperate and you don't want to contact the IT guys, you've got one last chance, and that is Control-Alt-Delete, and that is everyone's suggestion. Have you pressed the Windows button or Control-Alt-Delete?
I think there's a similar function with Apple Macs, which is called a force quit.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a force quit. Mm. So you can just find the bit that's playing up and just go, you're done. I just love that feeling. You know, something's screwing up and I'm like, I'm taking you out. Force quit, you're gone.
My partner had a Control-Alt-Delete issue
debacle.
Last night. Yeah.
Control-Alt-Debacle.
Got home, some very tense moments, but didn't want to press Control-Alt-Delete because it was thought there might have been some information that she was going to lose. But
it is always the last resort.
The very last. You're jumping off the cliff. Forget everything you've just worked on, probably.
Mm. Did it pan out?
I think it did pan out. I think she just waited.
Oh,
patience.
Yeah.
Patience.
That's always worth trying as well. I'll come back to it in a minute. Gates said, well, you know, if I could change it, I would probably just make that a button to push. It's a fair point. You know, why not just be one button? Maybe because you don't want to accidentally brush it, or, you know, it's kind of, you know, it raises the stakes when you do this move, so you don't want to just accidentally be doing it, or just, you know, doing it willy-nilly. Maybe the harder they make it for you to do it, the less likely. I don't
know. A lot of words on a one little key though, control alt delete. I guess you'd change it. Something to like the Apple.
Oh, they could have click. Just made it a red button with a skull and crossbones on
yes.
it.
Yes. Yep.
Like push that. The skull and crossbones. So yeah, he'd probably change that. But interestingly, and this suggests, you know, what a powerful man he is, he's actually thinking, well, if I change that, what else in history is that going to change? He says, if I could make one small edit, I would make that a single key operation. But I'm not sure you can go back and change the small things in your life without putting the other things at risk, which is true for everyone. You know, if you didn't buy a pair of red shoes in year two, your whole life might have turned out different. But when you're Bill Gates, it's not just your life that might have been different. You might have, you know, the whole outcome of the world could be different when you're that powerful.
Maybe the first people to use computers with this new button were pressing it too easily, and they were going, no, this computer's not reliable. And people went off it.
Yeah, and they binned it before it was even released.
So, possible.
Or what if developing that single key took a bit extra long and he had to miss a meeting that day, and as a result, he never bumped into the woman that became his wife and his kids were never born?
Wow. Yeah, yep. Or the fact that it took too long and someone else jumped in and had a similar computer and sort of system, and away they went.
It's a can of worms, all kinds of possibilities. Anything you've ever regretted that might have changed the trajectory of the world?
I did think of some regrets, but I don't know if they've at all changed the trajectory of my life. How about you?
Oh, no, not really. You know, we've all got the wrong haircut at different times. piercing. I pierced my ears at one point. That is something I would go back and not do.
Did it change your life? Was it when you were dating your wife? Or
no, this was before then. This was earlier. Mm-hmm. This was young Tim.
Am I looking now and I can sort of see... Yeah. Where you may have been pierced.
Yeah, there's little scars there. And this is why I never wanted to get a tattoo, because if those earrings were permanent, I had to wear them for the rest of my life, I would be dead set, just distraught.
It'll be interesting in about 25 years' time when people have got those big, are they called earrings? Or
flesh tunnels.
Flesh tunnels, yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, that's not good, is it?
It's just
you've got that, but...
Well, you know, it's the look for me. We're at that time of the year. I went to the 2007 AFL Grand Final. Oh. May have tarnished my love of football for a few years, but no, it hasn't changed my life.
No, but you would change if you could go back. You wouldn't attend the match, would you?
No, I don't think so. It was a long, big effort to get there. A lot of money spent. Mm-hmm. A lot of ridicule in my life since.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't out on the field, but
this is when Port Adelaide were beaten by a record 119 points.
That's correct. Many a text message was sent to me that day. Very hurtful. Not bad luck, but more suck it.
Suffer in your jocks.
Pretty much.
That's what they were telling you.
Pretty much.
Final thing on Bill Gates, and I thought this was kind of blew my mind a little bit. Apparently, Forbes, do Forbes ever do anything except release a rich list? Is that all they do?
I don't know.
Anyway, the list for 2017 estimates Bill Gates' worth is in US dollars, $108 billion.
Right.
Tidy sum.
Mm-hmm.
And his wealth is, their quote is, he's accumulating wealth just by breathing. So I guess, you know, exponential wealth. And at that point, you know, we're talking big sums.
Yeah.
Oxfam have suggested that at that rate, within 25 years, Bill Gates could be a trillionaire. And that would be make him the world's first trillionaire.
Right.
We've never had a trillionaire.
What's a trillion?
It's a trillion, million, billion. Kajillion.
I was looking at you as the words were coming out of your the way you said it. I believed you.
No, who knows? It's a lot of zeros.
Too much money than he knows what to do with.
Well, he's giving a lot of it away though. But so, you know, that's a good thing.
That's the point of richness, where you just go, nah, this is too much. Yeah. Don't need it.
how rich are you when you know that you've got so much money that you, the inheritance you're going to leave for your kids is actually harmful to them?
Has he said that?
Well, I think so. Mm. You know, if your kids get handed everything, you know, they don't develop properly. So imagine being handed $1 trillion.
I can imagine it.
You're not going to really understand the common man's struggle. Something being brought to my attention this week, newsman. Something we're all doing that none of us should be doing, it turns out.
This sounds mysterious and troubling.
So troubling. Why you should never drink coffee at work?
Well, that is a worry because I would say 75% of people at our workplace drink coffee. We've had chats about it before on air, actually. We've talked about buying from the store versus instant coffee, but it's a bigger issue than that, isn't it?
It is, and it's actually not just coffee. It would be tea as well. So yep. I think if you count up tea and coffee drinkers in a workplace, that's 90%.
Mm.
That's almost everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Shouldn't do it. Story around this week explaining why. And the reason is up to 90% of mugs in office kitchens are coated in germs, research has shown.
Ugh.
Sounds bad.
Yeah.
Gets worse. 20% of those cups carry fecal matter.
Fecal matter.
The bad one.
Wow. Of all the matters, you don't want the fecal.
No, you do not want that one. So bad news there. The culprit is communal kitchen sponges.
Yeah. Yep.
So this research discovered that coliform bacteria were present on 20% of the coffee cups before being, wiped down with one of these sponges.
Yep.
After the wiping down with the sponge or even dishcloth, 100% coffee cups had this bacteria.
No.
20% of the coffee cups were positive for E. coli after being wiped with the sponge.
Well, number one, bring your own mug and guard it viciously, which I think a few people do.
Yep.
Number two, we've got a dishwasher here. I reckon that might kill a few of the germs, but I'm thinking there are quite a few people that still just give it a bit of a swish with the sponge and then dry it off and put it back in the cupboard, which sounds like it's no good.
No, yeah, you don't want to do that. I don't use a sponge, I don't use a tea towel. I don't touch any of it.
You got your own mug?
I feel like I was ahead of the curve on this one. I have a cup I reuse.
Yep.
My own one, yeah, for
okay.
sure.
And you bring it back and it stays at your desk?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm using recyclable coffee cups at the moment, like paper ones.
Okay, yep.
So use it a couple of times, then get a new one.
I don't want to dwell, but the fecal matter, is this people not washing their hands properly after going to the toilet, then heading to the...
Yeah,
the coffee room or
I didn't want to get deep into this, but the bottom line of the study, and it's not just one study. I think this was established a while back that basically the entire world is coated in fecal matter. You know, we're talking about
fecal happens
microscopic amounts, but you know,
yeah,
it's everywhere.
It's like the old pub. Yeah, same sort of pub story, you know. If think twice before I'm taking those free peanuts at the pub.
Yeah.
Because,
oh, yeah.
You know, most of them are covered with the old feeks.
And the old feeks. And the handrail on escalators, is more dirty than a public toilet seat. That was that was the one that lodged in my brain from going back as a small child. Interestingly, this study found men's offices. I don't know what there's just offices that only men are in.
Like, probably would it be like a mechanic's business?
I hate to be
sexist, but you know,
yeah,
sort of like a plumber's office, or you know,
yeah,
yep.
Or a male model institute.
Zoolander style.
The men's offices had significantly more bacteria than women's.
Yes. Yep.
You don't sound surprised.
No.
More than 500 bacterial strains. Won't even get into what that's about or where it comes from. Study found that chairs and phones have a high abundance of bacteria.
No.
More than the desktop keyboard or mouse, which I thought a keyboard and a mouse would have been a real problem zone. But at least, I guess, some people share workstations, but oftentimes, you know, you kind of have your own keyboard.
Yeah. But even then, keyboards should really, in a radio station, everything needs to be wiped down all the time because so many people are using different stuff. Yep. Was it Michael Jackson or was it some other celebrity that chose to, or there were rumours that he had like a sort of airtight sort of environment which he lived into?
Mm-hmm.
Because basically sterile. When you hear this sort of stuff, you just think, yeah, I just want to live in a bubble and stay away from touching anything.
Howard Hughes is the famous one. I remember he was like old school US entrepreneur, business tycoon, aviator. The Aviator movie was about him, and he cracked up at the end of it, towards the end of his life, and locked himself in a chamber in his house and was freaking out about germs. And you feel like if you let your mind run away from you, you could end up in that point. The real problem spot in the modern era, and this played out in a few studies, is the disgusting, they've called it disgusting, quote unquote, levels of bacteria on the smartphones. Right. Smartphones are where it is.
Yeah.
So the researchers have summed it all up. The study provides more evidence that some people still don't wash their hands properly, especially after going to the toilet. So you called it.
Yeah.
You called it.
Okay. Tell me, though, why... Oh, sorry, were you finished?
Yeah, I'm tentative about the whole story. I'm half intrigued and want to know the info, and I half just want to put my head in the sand because there's not much you can do about it other than go completely nutso.
Yep. Why in offices is there no pride in cleanliness? Like, I feel like, is it people just transferring what they do at home to the workplace? Like, how often, and I'm sure it's not just our workplace, is there an email put out, the fridge is disgusting, there are things in here from 6 months ago, who's doing the dishwasher? Why doesn't... We all work hard at work, but we don't want to do the extra things.
Every office kitchen I've ever seen, everyone is always complaining about how vile it is. A couple of things going on there, I reckon. One is no one owns it. You know, there's no ownership. It's not actually your kitchen.
No.
It's not like your house. People say, the office kitchen's so gross. What do the kitchens in your homes look like? Well, they're probably completely fine, but, you know, because it's my kitchen, I clean it.
Yeah.
This other one at work, like, whose is it? It's no one's. No one owns it.
There should be, and I hate when people put signs and rules everywhere.
Oh, but red tape.
There should be some real strict, you know, use a mug, put it, I don't know. It
doesn't work. Doesn't work. A sign has never solved anything in the history of the
universe. Security cameras?
That could work. The threat of being publicly outed. Because this is the other thing. You can have the kitchen spotless and completely clean, and then as soon as one person screws it up, then the next person comes along and goes, it's wrecked. Someone's put their dirty stuff there. Okay. I'll just put mine there too.
Yep.
And then it's a snowball from there. No one is going to step into the middle of an avalanche of dirty dishes and go and be the one to put a stop to it and say, okay, I'm going to do all the cleanup of everyone else before me.
Maybe it should be like the security pass to get into work. If you lose it, cost you $10 to get a new one. Hold on to it, treasure it. So if you've got a mug, if you've got plates, if it's left in the kitchen for more than, if it's just left unattended, someone has the right to pick it up and put it in the bin. There'd be a lot of mugs in the bin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's all right. That's okay. As long as it's all biodegradable, that's the important thing.
I've got a weird kitchen gripe. I don't think it's rational.
No, just hit me with it. Go.
A sponge, I like it to be like wringed out. I don't like it sopping wet when I pick it up. I want it to be...
Oh, you mean for when it gets stored, so you've finished using it and when you put it back.
Or if you're just leaving it on the side of the sink.
Yeah.
Just squeeze it out so it's all nice and as dry as it can be.
Oh, hell yeah. It's got to be wrung out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you don't
put it back. I don't know if there's any science behind the bacteria maybe drying, like a dry sponge that might kill the bacteria. I don't know. I just feel like a moist one. Moistness.
No, not good. Shouldn't have said that. Well, no, you just feel like it's going to, whatever's in there is going to, you know, fester. You want it cleaned out. You want to start clean every time. So I'd, you know, in an ideal world, you'd use a sponge once, throw it away.
Yeah, true. I'd hate to, I'm sure you'll come up with an article down the track of how long you should keep your kitchen sponge, and I would take it. I'm sure I'd use it way too long.
Marcus, we speak about psychopaths, it feels like, fairly regularly.
Well, they generate plenty of debate, don't they? They're people that we're afraid of, but people we want to know about, just in case we go face to face with them.
Oh, those crazy old psychopaths. It's like, what are they up to now?
Exactly.
We have spoken about how to spot them before, and the bottom line there is not as obvious as what you might assume. A psychopath, they could just be lurking in the cubicle next to you, and you may not even really know it. A few things to look for. I think constantly lying was towards the top.
Yeah.
But there's another little handy trick we can keep up our sleeves to spot potential psychopath. Researchers are looking at a link between taste in music and psychopathic traits.
Right.
So this study took volunteers, compared their taste in music with scores on a personality test, to work out if there's any correlation.
So how would we implement this? I'll let you explain, but how will we use this knowledge? Would you have to be in a car listening to their collection on their iPod? Or?
Well, it could work like this. They've come up with a couple of songs that showed the strongest link to psycho traits.
Okay.
So if you had someone on your radar who you were starting to feel were perhaps a psycho, a bit concerned that this person is showing some danger signs, maybe just inadvertently have them listen to this song or play this song while they're there and just see their reaction.
Right.
If they love the song, bingo, you got a psycho.
All right.
So this team from a uni in New York played 260 songs for 200 people, found that those with the highest psychopathic scores were big fans of Blackstreet's No Diggity.
I don't know that.
I think it's sort of like an oldish sort of, you know, like hip-hop style song. And Eminem's Lose Yourself. You know, we're all familiar with that one.
Yes.
Well, you know who Eminem is.
Yeah. I'll Google it, I'm sure I know
it. So put either of those tracks on in the presence of a potential psycho.
And they start nodding their head.
Yeah.
And, yep.
Tapping their toe and really just, into it.
Yep.
Yikes.
Clenching their fist, just pumping it. Yeah.
And if they say something like, oh, I love this song, it makes me want to go out and do psycho things.
That'll give it away.
The opposite is true, though. They've also come up with a couple of songs that indicate the lowest links to the lowest psychopathic scores.
Okay.
The Knacks, My Sharona.
Hey.
As well as, excuse me, Sia's Titanium.
All right.
Pop song in the last couple of years. So either someone who's really into either of those songs, maybe breathe a sigh of relief, not so much a psycho.
It feels like unleashing a sort of born identity spy, though. Like, you're triggering personality traits by playing the music. Like, hey, web guy, have a listen to this. And then just seeing your eye
diggity. I just want to go out and be a crazy person.
Seeing your eye twitch and...
Yeah, or they do that...
scarily.
They do that in Zoolander as well with that song, Relax. Subliminally.
Yes.
I hate that word. Triggers someone to go assassinate someone. The guy, scarily, they've also announced that they actually found other songs, other than the two I mentioned by Blackstreet and Eminem, they found other songs that were even more predictive of a psychopath, but they're not revealing them.
Oh.
So how mysterious is that? They don't want to compromise future research. Is that it? Or do they not want to trigger a mass
outing, outing of. So that maybe they're the most popular, you know, hugely popular songs, basically saying we're all psychopaths.
Yeah, they might be saying, thinking, oh, hey, you know that band One Direction? If you like them, it turns out you're a psychopath. Well, he said the lead researcher is saying that what all this is about trying to identify possible psychopaths without them knowing it, and also before they can find themselves in a position of power or do any damage. Interesting stuff. I feel like this is the future, identifying problems or psychos before they happen.
Yeah. Yep. You never sort of think of, I mean, music's enjoyable, it's emotive, but you never think it could really out someone with their personality. But there you go. Yep.
Yeah. We're all going to get too scared to react to music in front of us in case we're inadvertently tipping them off to some deep problem we have.
Well, unless you've got a podcast, really, are you reading this and then going out and testing everyone? Probably not. We will.
I'm going.
After this, yeah.
I'm absolutely going to. Speaking of psychos, during the week, English cricketer Ben Stokes, big name, famous cricketer.
Yep.
I think one of maybe the best all-rounder in the world at the moment.
Yeah, he'd be up there. He's definitely in England's best couple of players. All-rounder, strong, athletic, and
very
on the rise in his career, basically.
Very strong.
Mm.
So strong, he went on a rampage during the week and threw 15 punches in 1 minute.
Yeah.
Video of him just going off the handle in public, attacking people.
We often hear about these sports incidents in pubs, and in the end, you read about it and sounds like maybe the other person is the instigator, might have been a push and a shove, but this is on a totally different level.
You mean like the famous person will often be taunted?
Yeah, and might throw one back.
Yeah.
But this looks a lot more aggressive, like sustained aggression.
Yeah. Oh, and he started it. Is that what you're hearing?
I don't know if he started it, but just looking at the vision, he was there to finish it.
Oh,
He wasn't there to, you know, push someone away and walk away.
No. He's rolled the sleeves up. He's in for a ding-dong battle. He gave an interview just only a few days before this incident talking about how aggressive he is. But his quote was, he said, I'd never get close to punching someone.
Mm.
The adrenaline's there.
Yep.
It's the heat of the moment. Trying to be the bloke to get the wicket, that will change the game and break in our favour. So he's saying, no, I won't punch someone, but you totally will.
I heard a story earlier today. He's had that track record. He's, you know, punched change room walls. He's been caught drinking on tour and being sent home and stuff like that. Mm. There's a record there.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe just the problem is bigger than he thought, if that's what he said in the interview.
He's a wild man with red hair, and I'm wondering if you'd care to comment on the on wild red-headed men.
Yeah, I guess I think he goes beyond the redhead stereotype because he's an elite sportsman, so he probably got rid of those angry schoolboy taunts and got on with cricket, I think.
The other thing is, he said, we're grown men, asked if he drinks alcohol when he's out and about. He says, we're grown men, go out for dinner, have a few pints. I'm 26, not 14. I don't have to drink Diet Cokes. So, alcohol's a factor. It's no excuse, but looking at it, that is not what he's up to. Is not that's not sober man behaviour at all, you wouldn't think.
I think it's, unfortunately, and I think I'm a little on my own here, I think it's an ominous sign for the Australian summer ahead. He's been selected for the Ashes, which surprised me a little bit, but he'll come here, he'll be focused. He's on that sort of last strike policy, I'm guessing, with the English cricket board. He'll come here, he'll be as clean skin as you can and focus on cricket and damn it, cause some problems for the Aussies.